Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
He kōna i purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Kia ora and welcome to a brand new series of Here Now with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. Yep, so Voices is now called Here Now, and each week we continue bringing you stories from across all sorts of topics, from the arts to science and culture, told through the eyes of people from around the world who now call New Zealand home. Stereotypes, endearing and annoying all at once, often the bane of many of our lives as diaspora in New Zealand. I mean, the list is endless. The usual assumptions around places in India being crowded, how so many of us speak English, whether we dance Bollywood or make garlic naan at home. And of course, I couldn't resist using this soundtrack in the back that you hear. I mean, ethnic and all that, right? Then there's those tropes around the cities, Bombay, Mumbai or Delhi, cows, tummy bugs, and if life is really that quote-unquote unbearable in the large metros of India, etc., etc.
Like, it's so ridiculous, that Delhi belly concept. And Indian people get sick as well. Like, his stomach was done in also in Berlin. So I don't know, can we call it Berlin belly? Just, like, take the Delhi out of it.
So a Mumbai girl had a film out in Pune, which was made in Auckland, but it was about Indians. So that was interesting.
In this episode of Here Now, I'm talking to creatives from the Indian diaspora about how the idea of tropes and stereotypes work or doesn't work for them and their more nuanced takes on them. That was Shonanda Chatterjee, who you just heard, theatre director. And Shreya Bhagwath, whose film Mr. Singh's Death was selected for the Chicago South Asian Film Festival last year. She normally lives in Auckland, but she's speaking to me today from and about her favourite city, Mumbai, her hometown.
This film that I wrote was from an experience I had in Auckland when I was door knocking as a volunteer very early in my immigration journey to New Zealand. And I spoke to this gentleman who had moved to live with his kids from somewhere in Punjab, but it's not very different from any of our parents coming to live with us as they get older. And he talked to me about the isolation that he felt. And, you know, there was a huge internal conflict that I had about this situation because I'm a first generation migrant, you know. And as you age, you realize your parents are aging too. But is it really fair to remove them from their context and their lives that they have lived, you know, somewhere? Like, and in Mumbai, my parents have a huge social life. They're older, but they have a huge social life. They have a community. They have their lifelong friends here. They have the things that they do. How fair is it to kind of uproot them and move them to a strange city? Then the onus lies on them to build their own connections. I don't know if that's fair. And I don't necessarily know what the answer to that is, which is why, you know, I wrote that film. It sort of ends more on a question rather than an answer. And and these are real issues, you know. I mean, it would be similar if somebody, say, from Auckland, in theory, had to move to Mumbai. How challenging would they find it to adjust to a culture like this?
Shreya's native to Mumbai, and I guess I naturally wanted to know how much of her work in theatre and film draws from that megalopolis. Again, that's riddled with all sorts of tropes.
A great deal, actually. So it's a very layered city, and I think that experience is reflected, I think, in my personal experience as well. You know, you have all manner of people from all stations in life, you know, whether it's class, whether it's language. So it's a real melting pot, you know, Bombay and Bombay, Mumbai. And I think one of the main reasons that I call Bombay, Mumbai is also because I'm Marathi. And at home, it's always been Mumbai. So that's probably why I reach for that word rather than Bombay, more than the official nomenclature of the city changing, the official name changing. The Hindi film industry is known as Bollywood, colloquially, and that's probably coming from Bombay. So it's quite interesting because there are lots of intersections also that are drawn the stories, I guess, are at intersections of many things in Mumbai. There is no one way of telling a story, which is a very sort of enriching and nurturing space for a storyteller. Because you take one walk in your neighborhood and you'll observe so much and observe so much and see so much and get so inspired by people simply making the city their own. So that's a real advantage, I think, of being from here.
What are some of the things that you've noticed over time since you've moved from Mumbai to New Zealand? For example, when you first arrived here, I bet you were faced with quite a few situations where you needed to convince people that the stereotype necessarily wasn't true.
One of the stereotypes about Mumbai is that it's very resilient. Okay. And I've always found that stereotype a little bit, it's true, but it's also a bit problematic because it's a harsh city too. You know, it's vibrant, it's a melting pot, but it's also harsh and it's ruthless. And it can be, people have no choice except to sort of stay calm and carry on no matter what happens here. And the city has seen some very, very, challenging times. And I think in that sense, people from the city are quite, are not demanding because they're so resilient. But that also means that some of the things that really need to be addressed don't get addressed. So the resiliency is a double-edged sword. And I think that's a stereotype that really needs to be examined a bit more closely.
It almost sometimes seems like the word resilience can be used as an excuse for negligence. When you look at things like the Bombay bomb blasts, or you look at things like the flooding situation during the monsoon that so much of Bombay faces, to paint an entire bunch of people as resilience almost dismisses needs that are yet to be fulfilled in many ways, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, all of that is true. And say a bridge collapsing. And I mean, bear in mind, we're talking about a major city in this country that contributes so much in terms of, opportunity or the number of people who live here. And it really does need more attention.
I suppose one of those films that sort of brought Mumbai into mainstream Hollywood's attention was Slumdog Millionaire back in 2008.
When Slumdog Millionaire came out, I remember my own visceral reaction to it was, it's a good film. I found that it was a good film, but I also didn't appreciate that somebody else was telling a story about Mumbai, set in Mumbai, who was not from here, right? But then I contrast that with a film like Gully Boy, which is made in Bombay. It's if I'm correct, it is shot. Vast parts of it are shot in Dharavi.
That's right.
It's made, yeah. And it's made by an Indian filmmaker, an Indian female filmmaker. And I think that I found that much more authentic and real as compared to, say, a Slumdog Millionaire, which had that vibe of a film made to profit off of something that is happening in a developing country and something that needs to be told in a certain way, which is acceptable to a global audience. And it's going to get somebody lots of awards and make lots of money. But really, who is actually benefiting from it? So these are questions that I really, really found very confronting and problematic when Slumdog Millionaire came out. That has changed, and I'm glad that it has changed. I also think that slum living, chawl living, is a very unique way of life. And I'm by no means saying that it's easy and that we should not ask the question that why should large portions of people live like that. I'm not at all, saying that that's okay, because those conditions are very, very, very hard, But at the same time, I think when I observe it, whenever I used to have a connection through my work, two people who lived there, lived in slums, lived in chawls. I think it's a very unique community living situation all the festivals are celebrated. They're celebrated together. People have connections. They count on each other because often systems fail, right? Which is why this whole collectivism really helps people, because it's a lot of interdependency. Whenever you're in trouble or whenever you're celebrating something, you first go to your friend who's your neighbor, you know, and they all know what is going on in each other's lives. So I really find that, I really actually think that, you know, that's extremely reassuring at some level, at some human level. And when I moved to Auckland, I really did find that it was a very isolating experience and existence. And I underappreciated how much Bombay sort of has that fabric of calling on your neighbors, you know, knowing who's in your neighborhood, being okay with asking for support and help to them, right? So I think that's a very unique thing about Bombay, which is stereotyped in films, less so now, but definitely something that I missed when I moved away from the city.
Shonanda is based in Auckland, but spent her early childhood in Delhi. And although she's lived more of her life in New Zealand than she has in India, some of the tropes still seem to get to her.
Can we just please take a second to talk about Delhi Belly? I've never had Delhi Belly in Delhi. So, you know, talk to me about that. How likely is it?
Oh my goodness. Like, listen, you can have IBS in France. What are you talking about, sir? Like, I find it incredibly upsetting. Of course, look, the water situation, like, you should know your own body. Don't blame it on the place, man. Like, you go and drink, like, shit out of the drain, and then you're like, oh, I don't know. It must be Delhi. I'm like, no. If you're used to eating something sterile and unsalted, then the slightest amount of jeera is going to make you gag. Like, that is not that's just science of your body. I don't know, people make it cultural and now it's like, oh, Indian people eat hot food. I'm like, no mate, we eat all kinds of food. It's so weird that we get homogenized.
How much of your work would you say actually draws from stereotypes and away from them?
Yeah, I do think about stereotypes all the time, but I try to stay away from... My problem is caricature. Do you know what I mean? I don't think stereotypes are the problem, because stereotypes are genuinely there for a reason. They're a system of signs, essentially, to understand somebody. And those signs, when in the hands of the people, I think, that are responsible for them, can be hilarious and funny. And that's why I think, well, yeah, these are genuine signs and of our cultural things, like, you know, the overbearing mother, for instance, is such a trope. But the overbearing mother is a trope across, like, now I'm realizing, like, all of Asia, right, at least, and Hispanic communities and Polynesian communities. So it's like quite a large trope, or like a broad, like, covers a broad range of people. But I think I don't really mind using them, because they're mine to use. That's my toolkit. That's my arsenal. But I think when somebody from looking in tries to do that, it becomes caricature and it becomes clownesque, and you don't really get to the heart of it, because behind every stereotype, there are emotions, there is a human being. So if you don't know the nuance of the person who is that stereotype, or who plays into that stereotype, if you don't know the cultural nuances that have brought them up to be like that, you can't be empathetic to a character. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, when I'm making work, I have to empathize with every person in the script, because otherwise I'm directing them from the outside. I'm not in there, you know. So the same thing that the actors have to do for their own characters, I feel like the director has to do for all the characters in the play. You have to be in the mind of the character. you have to empathize with them. I think in my work, I lean into stereotypes all the time. And I think it's hilarious. Like, that's how we deal with trauma, by actually leaning more into it. And we have permission to do that because it is ours to mess with. But somebody looking in does not have permission to do that.
Creatives from Auckland and the Indian diaspora, Shonanda Chatterjee and Shreya Bhagwat there on today's episode of Here Now. And I'm your host and producer, Kadambri Raghukumar. While we're on the subject of theatre and the arts, Here Now goes live for the first time at the Podfest at Q on February 8th. You can get tickets on the Q Theatre website. So come and join the audience as I talk to two of New Zealand's brilliant theatre makers, Jacob Rajan and Pedro Ilgenfitz. That's on the 8th of Feb in Auckland's Q Theatre. Get your tickets online at the Q Theatre website and I'll see you then. Today's episode was mixed by Blair Stagpool and my name's Kadambri Raghukumar. Thanks for listening.